Blog Talk Radio.
Addiction problem, and he's a sad guy, and the women he gets involved with are kind of sad, and he just seems to be like circling the toilet bowl, literally. And I don't know. I don't know what to think of that. I don't know what to make of that movie. It seemed like soft porn on a number of levels. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's an interesting subject. It's not a film that actually grabbed me because the characters were just sort of kind of sad, and they weren't people I'd get involved with anyway. So I'm not quite sure what to make of that one. But you know, whatever.
What about
Walk on the Wild Side?
Okay, what about X-Men First Class?
Now, that movie I really enjoyed. I was very surprised at that. I don't know how I missed that one. I should have seen that one when that came out in the movies. I loved the action, and I loved the way in which they created these tie-ins to actual historical events. I love that. They had tie-ins to the Cuban Missile Crisis and to actual events that happened during World War II regarding the Russians and the Germans and the ways in which they were trying to expand the World War II. And they sort of wove that into the story. And I just love it when people do that sort of thing, take those kinds of liberties with history to create another interesting story. And the backstories of these characters were also very interesting, how Magneto became Magneto and how Xavier became Xavier, and the idea of these mutants, and the Simon character, who was played by Kevin Bacon, who, you know, seemed to be sort of a very analogous to Mengele, who's a very famous doctor in Nazi Germany, famous for torturing and killing and experimenting on children and adults, but it's just like the ultimate in evil. So the Kevin Bacon character was premised on that. And, you know, nice visuals and really interesting story. I really, really enjoyed it.
Well, joining us tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is another one of our crew. And this is the Must See Movies Film Critic on Facebook, and also on Twitter is Mr. Larry Domkowski. So, Larry, same question to you. Kind of give an overview of each film, and then we'll get into Michael Fassbender's a little bit more directly for each film. And go ahead.
First of all, here's a guy who a few years back really caught the Hollywood's eye in the film that was originally came out of the comics, and that was 300. He played one of the Spartans and did a fantastic job. But not only that, Hollywood took a look at this guy and said, here's somebody we could take to the bank. And he's proved himself with everything he's done since then. He's in 12 Years a Slave. First of all, what an incredible film, and what an incredible project to be a part of. Again, you really see a marvelous acting job that he's done. He did in that, and he brought a lot to the story,
Larry, before you continue, just give an overview of what you thought about the film, and then we'll talk about each individual film and his part in it. That way, we can get your overview of what you thought.
Twelve Years a Slave. A brief overview. I loved it. It was a fantastic film. Shame, frankly, I've only seen it once, and I gotta see it again. I'm not sold on that film. But then again, I'm not going to say anything against it. And then X-Men First Class, again, that's a tough one too. It missed on a lot of marks. It was a fun film, but it missed on a lot of marks. Although some of the performances in there were pretty good.
Okay, very good. Well, as for me, I enjoyed 12 Years a Slave. I think most of the country did. It is an excellent film. Great portrayals. Great acting by pretty much all the main characters in the film. Shame, I'm kind of with Karen on this one. It took me aback. Wasn't what I expected when I was watching it, even though I did read the profile of the film prior to seeing it. It still took me aback. And with regard to X-Men First Class, I like the fact that they went back to give people who have been watching these films, especially if you're not a comic book person and not into Marvel comic books, an ability to understand and find out who these characters are that had come to us as adults in their middle to upper age, as they're in their adult life, I should say. So I still thought it was a pretty good movie. I did appreciate the fact that they did go back and give us a little bit more history and to understand the characters that we see in future or in the previous films, which are quote-unquote in the future. So that's my assessment. I liked two of the films, definitely. The Shame was a little interesting for me. So let me ask you first, Larry, going back to your assessment of Michael Fassbender in 12 Years a Slave, what was it about his performance that you liked?
It was real. But the whole film was real, and it really helped me feel like I was seeing something that could have happened right next door. I can't explain it other than that. And helped really add a powerful element to that film. You know, I've seen this film now three times, and the first time I saw it, you know, I appreciated it for the powerful film it was and the story that it was meant to tell. But each time I've seen it, I've been thinking that here's something that that I need to be more aware of, and I need to be take a more personal stake in the message of the film, and he helped bring that message forward.
What about you, Karen?
Well, Michael Fassbender. Let me just focus on Michael Fassbender's performance. And it was riveting. It was nuanced. I thought it was extremely interesting to watch him because here is this man who just so firmly believed in sort of the Judeo-Christian permission for him to own people. Like, that was all, like, there was this interesting scene where he did what a lot of slave owners did, which was hold church on the plantation, hold church for the slaves, and he would make it a point to turn the verses in the Bible to pretty much emphasize that it was his God-given right and actually his God-given duty to beat the slaves a lot if they dare disobey. And, you know, so he also had, you know, he was obviously in love with Patsy and hated himself for it, hated her for it, hated his wife for hating him. And, you know, so trying to pull that off without looking like some sort of caricature, I think is very difficult. Michael Fassbender pulls it off. There are these elements that where you can see there, you know, where it's like, oh, well, you know, for a total cretin, you know, there's like a little bit of a little nugget of, like, a bit of light, humanity, and then it all goes away. That performance was just so necessary to that character, and I think trying to do that, you know, in the filming process must have been very difficult, not, you know, for everybody involved. You know, it takes a lot of strength, and it's exhausting to have to be that cruel to your fellow actors. And, you know, when the director calls cut, you know, and then you got to go back at it again, that's extremely difficult. And you really have to be able to trust your fellow actors to pull that off. And obviously there was a great deal of trust amongst the people on that movie. And that's one of the reasons why the performances were so well done.
Yeah, I tend to agree. It's very interesting about Michael Fassbender's portrayal. He did such a good job at not just being the character, but showing us the character's flaws, showing us the character's passion, as it were. I use that word. And showing that in his mind, he thought he was doing the right and righteous thing. And that's the element of how flawed he was, and just slowly throughout the film to show how gradually his reins, his power, his the essence of his character starts to dwindle away as the main character finds his strength and finds his connection as the film goes on toward the end of the film. So, yeah, I really enjoyed him in that film. So why don't we go ahead and talk about the film that was really bizarre for all of us, I think, and that's Shane. I just want to offer up really quickly, although I think Michael Fassbender showed us that he is a good actor and it's a very different role, I think the movie itself was a little confusing I don't even know how to say it. It was hard for me to watch, first of all. I agree with Karen. It was about two steps from being rated X, I think. But with all that being said, because of the essence of the movie is about an addiction, one of the addictions in this film other than sex was the addiction of brother and sisterhood, is what I found in the character. And why...
They call that incest.
What'd you say?
I think they call that incest.
Yeah, and not just that, but it's just the sheer wanting to be, in his case, alone. He wanted to stay the solitary creature who basically preys on others but gets to go home and not have to worry about it or think about it. And yet the relevance of his sister coming to stay with him, causing him to look at himself even deeper, something he did not want to do. That I got out of it. But it was really a bizarre film. Larry, Karen, what did you think about that film?
Who do you want to go first?
Why don't you go first, Karen?
Oh, great. Thanks, Larry. thanks, Blair. Let me just talk about what I think of his performance in the film. I think he did a lot with the character in the film. I don't think the film held up necessarily to the talents of the people that were brought to the film. I think the story was thin. The story is about a man who's a sex addict, and you know, he basically flirts with the edge of disaster. He looks at porn at work, and his boss says to him at one point, you know, your computer's really dirty. It's just so dirty. I mean, he didn't mean like with fingerprints. He meant with porn. You know, he masturbates at work. He, you know, he picks up random women. I mean, he's living on the edge. But And I think it's hard to make an interesting movie about that because American attitudes towards sex are still, you know, relatively Puritan. So it's hard to make a really decent movie about that. Now, that being said, this wasn't really an American movie. It was a British movie. British director Michael Fassbender, you know, has a long association with Steve McQueen. You know, so I guess it was an American film. But his performance, I thought was good. He did a lot with what he was given. I just don't think he was given enough because the character, you would have to do a lot to make that story more interesting than sad. This story was more sad than interesting. And sad to me just gets, I just lose interest in only sad after a while. I just want to stop watching. So that's kind of where I was. I mean, I did watch it because it was homework, but if it wasn't homework, I would have stopped.
Okay, how about you, Larry, quickly?
I thought this was a, like we're all agreeing, an interesting film. I think that it has some very powerful performances. I think that the film and the production takes on a lot of risks with this film, especially to an English-speaking audience. But I think that the metaphors of the film are pretty stretched out here. But it is an interesting commentary on our contemporary lifestyle and how we often confuse our intimacy with other things, and maybe we hide behind things because we as a culture cannot be intimate, and it really hits that pretty hard in a couple of scenes. You know, the scene, for instance, where he can't get the erection. He can't, when it really comes down to it, he can't be intimate. He has to keep everything at arm's length. He has to keep it on his computer. He has to, you know, he has to do it in a very angry way if he's having anything at all. He's got to be manipulative, but he cannot be intimate. And in the end, and at the end, that's what really does him in. He can't be intimate. He can't really find what it takes to let someone else inside him. And that's where the film, I think, the story of the film lies. But then again, this is not an easy film to watch, and definitely a hard film to watch more than once.
Indeed. Okay, well, we've got about 5 or 6 minutes left. Why don't we go ahead and talk about X-Men First Class? Now, in this film, I really like the fact that Fassbender has been cast as Magneto in the film as the young man. We see the manipulation in the young man's life, and now because of all the horrific things that have happened to not just himself but his family, and the fact that these are all mutants, his mutant powers, it was trying, as Karen mentioned before, Kevin Bacon's character was trying to manipulate Fassbender's character as a young man. And so now Fassbender's character is upset. He's mad. He wants revenge. And he's stopping at nothing to get that revenge. And doesn't matter what anyone says, he's going to get that revenge. He is driven. Fortunately, he's a driven guy who has a few friends that have helped him out in this particular film. So what did you guys think about Michael Fassbender's portrayal of Magneto in X-Men First Class? Why don't you start, Larry? Let Larry take this one first.
Oh, okay.
Very quickly, I actually enjoyed his portrayal of Magneto, and for a person who followed the comics, thought that he did a better job at finding what motivates Magneto more than Ian McKellen does in the earlier films. I again, this is a comic book movie, and not necessarily a great comic book movie, but you got to take it for what it's worth. And he does find the character and presents it well. That final confrontation between he and Kevin Bacon, that was well done.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. So what do you think, Karen?
Well, I guess I would disagree with Larry a little bit. He didn't like the film overall. I did like the film overall. I thought, and maybe because I'm not a comic book person, I came from this from the perspective of somebody who didn't read the X-Men comics, but I did see the first X-Men film, and I actually generally like that genre. And for me, I think this movie held up. Like I said, I really liked the interesting ways in which it sort of layered history on top of the fiction of the X-Men. Now, Michael Fassbender's character, I really liked what he did because, again, he's playing this guy who, I mean, he and Xavier end up at odds. They become sworn enemies. And this movie shows how they got to that point because they started out being friends. And Xavier was a great friend to Magneto. Magneto can't repay the friendship because he needs to get revenge more than he, you know, needs a friend. And he needs to be in power because he's been victimized for so long by other people in power. So that struggle was really interesting to watch. And, again, you know, the nuances of, you know, you find yourself, or I found myself rooting for Magneto, even though I knew it wasn't going to end that well as far as how good he was going to be. He's not going to help the X-Men. He's going to be a nemesis. But you still root for him because, you know, you still see the frightened little boy who's desperately trying to magnetize coins to save the life of his mother. Doesn't work. So he loses his mother. And you see the person trying to find his way in the world that doesn't want people who are different. And I really thought Michael Fassbender did a good job of pulling out those subtleties, those nuances, so that you do root for him as a character.
I tend to agree. I thought he did an excellent job. He made me believe in the character of Eric, his superhero, quote-unquote, named Magneto. He made me feel the rage and the passion that he had in trying to find his vengeance. And that made and played really well in the film. And I also agree with Larry. I think he does a better job in his role of Magneto than McCallum does in the previous film. But not taking anything away from that, he did a good job as well, just that you can understand and see the intensity that Fassbender brought to this film that makes you understand even more. And I think in my case, makes me much more empathetic. So, well, ladies and gentlemen, again, here on Blog Talk Radio, we've only got a few seconds left. We want to thank you for listening in and listening to us banter about this up-and-coming, really decent actor. He's got some movies coming out real soon. There's another X-Men Apocalypse, which is coming out in 2016. But I'm looking forward to this particular actor in Macbeth and also in a new movie called, American Creed.
But also Steve Jobs. That's coming out this weekend.
And I was going to get to that, but thanks, Karen. Yep, Steve Jobs is. So if you have the ability to get out to the show this week, check this particular actor out in Steve Jobs. He is Steve Jobs. So, well, I want to thank you guys for hanging out with me today. Thanks, Karen. Thanks, Larry. And make sure you get out to the movies, ladies and gentlemen. It's a wonderful, wonderful platform to understand a little bit about history, a little bit about fiction, and a lot about entertainment. So we're going to jump off here and go over to Hangouts on Air on Google+. If you have some time, come hang out with us there. Thanks again for being with us here on Blog Talk Radio. Check out our archives, and also check out each one of us on Twitter. KD Movie Maven, Larry, what is your moniker on Twitter?
I'm just Larry Dumkowski.
Okay, and then you can check me out at Real Movie Guy. Thanks again, everybody, and have a good night.